Welcome to another episode of the Growth Focus Podcast, where we bring together experts from all across the globe to talk about their experiences, their time and their insights, and share with us how we can grow our businesses. My name is Gary Lafter, your host and founder of the Growth Focus Partnerships, where we take experts within the tech field and turn them into authorities so they can be chosen as opposed to one doing all the choosing all the time. But more importantly, we turn their conversations into clients and their expertise into pipelines, the all-important pipelines. Now, on this particular episode, we're going to be talking, what does it take to run a great SaaS company? What are the challenges that people are having out there, and how do we go out and solve them? And sometimes our history, our background, is sometimes we can bring from outside industries into the current industry and really help us grow. So without further ado, I can't wait to get started on this episode and bring our guest on. Jessica, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here today. Why don't you start off by introducing yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are and what is it that you do?
Excellent. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'm Jess Cottle. I'm the Chief Operating Officer with Planning Pod. We're a SaaS company based in Northern Colorado that serves the events and venue industry. So we build tools and business management solutions for the events industry and the venue industry across the world. So I've been with the company for nearly 7 years now. And from day one, I've been deeply involved in driving growth, whether scaling customer operations, shaping product strategy, and building processes that support both our teams and our users. So Planning Pod, I know we'll talk about it probably a little bit more later, but we serve about 1,300 accounts, tens of thousands of users on a daily basis. And as the COO, I kind of oversee a little bit of everything, or a lot of bit of everything, depending on the day.
I can't wait to really dive into, obviously, what is it that you do and how you oversee growth, and more importantly, being the Growth Focus Podcast, talking about growth and what's up. But before we do that, Jess, let's kick off with your story. Let's dial it back a little bit. And tell us what led you from where you were to where you are today.
Absolutely. People are always a little bit confused about how I landed where I did. You know, directly before Planning Pod, I've worked in corporate franchising. I've worked in real estate technology. I've worked in education. Funny fact that people always go, huh, is I actually have an orchestral French horn performance degree from a conservatory in New York City that I don't use. Got my MBA after that. But I kind of fell backwards into the tech industry. And, you know, many people can probably relate that I had young children when I was kind of making a transition in my career. And honestly, I was looking for something that I could still drop my kids off at school and pick them up. And so I landed in a role at Planning Pod in remote customer support, where I was, you know, hybrid between commuting to Denver and working from my home office. And I kind of accidentally fell in love with the industry that we serve. I love working with my founder. It just worked for me. So it was one of those things that I didn't expect to love it as much as I did.
Yeah, that's always an amazing thing, Jess, isn't it? Where, you know, we go to college, we get our degrees, we expect to go down a certain route. And I would say probably a good 60 to 70%, if not more, of my guests have not used the degree they had. They've ended up going in a completely different direction, and for the better, may I say. So it's absolutely refreshing, you know, to hear yet another person who said, no, kind of fell into this, and this is what I absolutely love. So before we get into, you know, your role as a CEO and a COO and driving growth, for those who are unfamiliar with exactly what Planning Pod does, can you tell us, what is it that you do? What is the problem that you solve, and who do you actually solve it for?
Yeah, absolutely. So Planning Pod is an end-to-end business management solution specifically for events and venue businesses. So, you know, the problem that we solve most of the time is we have users that come to us that they're in pain, but they don't know why they're in pain. So usually when someone gets into the events industry, it starts with a passion project. They're great at planning, or they have this beautiful space, or they have a vision for, you know, creating community, creating a space where people can come together and celebrate together, or mourn together, or just, you know, their spaces where people are coming together. And so they're really, really great with the people. They're great with the planning. They're great with the details. A lot of times they don't know the business side of things. And so, or they do know the business side of things, but they don't know that they need a solution to streamline things. So they'll come to us with issues with lead management, with sales management, managing inquiries, and they're using 10, 12, 15 different pieces of software, some of which are free and none of them talk to each other. And so spreadsheets, calendars, Gmail, free email services. So Planning Pod brings all of that together and kind of helps them solve some of those business problems. But beyond that, we're trusted advisors, which is one of the things that kind of sets us apart in the industry, is they trust us to help them maximize their volume, maximize their business, create streamlined processes, because we've worked with so many different event businesses. And while each of their services and offerings may be different and unique, the business behind running an events business is usually pretty standard, and we can help them really streamline those things. So they come to us in pain because they're just running around like chickens with their heads cut off. They're just overwhelmed and they can't quite make things happen. And we help streamline it, bring it all into one place and help them grow their businesses.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's again a classic example of people are very good at what they do. But when it comes to, you know, even in our industry, in the tech industry, they're really great coders, programmers, engineers. They're very good at the tech side of their business. But when it comes to the actual growing side, like you said, the lead generation, the sales management, the closing, just looking at the CRM stuff of their business, that's where generally where help comes in. But what I want to really talk about, as I want to do it later, but you brought it up right now. And so it's a very pertinent point within businesses across the board, but really, really, as we see it today in tech, is building trust. Trust is such a big, it's almost a flippant word that as long as us, you know, oh yes, of course, we're very, very trustworthy. But building trust is, you've got to earn that trust, but it's so hard to get out there. And many people who are listening today would know that they'll be sitting there nodding, going, yeah, once they get to know me, they trust me. But it's getting to know me in the first place, to building that trust. What experience have you had on that, Jess? And what insights could you share with us when it comes to creating and building trust with prospects and with clients?
Yeah, actually, this one of my favorite stories that I tell when talking about my journey with Planning Pod is that's I actually think a lack of trust, and it sounds rather severe when you say there was a lack of trust when I started with the company. And I don't know that I would necessarily identify it that way until much, much later, that there was this lack of trust. I started in this customer support role, like taking phone calls, live chats, emails. So the first thing I was able to do is start to get to know our users. And because I was really the first person in that role, that was my full-time job, I started developing relationships immediately. And that's just the way that I operate. I'm going to develop a relationship with someone. But you know what I realized very quickly is we were signing good customers, but we had a significant churn issue because they were immediately overwhelmed. And so even though they were actually sold exactly what they needed, they were overwhelmed and we lost their trust right away because they got in and went, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. Just the volume of the system, the number of tools, and then the fact that they didn't necessarily know how to implement a single streamlined tool into a business operation. And so by identifying that need right at the beginning and changing our focus from responsive support to proactive training and onboarding, and that was like kind of step number one in really developing trust with our customers. And it immediately started reducing our churn. So our retention got better. We were able to kind of help grow on the business side of things. But that trust is like, it really, truly, they need someone. And I think generally we all want to come into a business relationship and have continuity between what we hear in sales and what we hear in operations. And, you know, the transition should feel comfortable because everything else is going to be uncomfortable when you're implementing a new process, procedure, software, anything into your business. Like, it's scary. It's okay to feel a little scared, but you need someone that you trust to kind of guide you along that path. That was very, very early. I mean, it took me, I think I was 6 weeks in when this, you know, early 30 something girl went to two tech founders and said, hey, I have no business saying that. This, I know I'm new here, but I see the problem and I can fix it. Will you let me fix it? And the reason that I am still with Planning Pod and still here growing the company is they said yes. And so they trusted me in a time when they had no business trusting me. I had no business asking them to change something about their company. But because of that inherent trust, we were able to really scale. And
do you know what I picked up from there, Jess? And it's really, really important. I'm a great believer. You know this. We talked about this before. I'm a great believer in educational-based marketing, helping your customer buy, helping your customer implement, helping them along the way, not just once, like one installment there, but continuous. So when it came to, like you said, the educational webinars, the educational things that you were actually doing, what did you find that the clients liked most about that?
They like feeling in control. They want someone to hold their hand when they want their hand held, but they like to feel in control of their experience. Especially when you're dealing with small to medium-sized businesses, especially at the very beginning of Planning Pod, we were working with many, sole proprietors or, couples that had a space on their property. And, our customer base and the size of accounts, like the enterprise accounts has grown significantly. But as a general rule, our industry, you're dealing with a lot of like, there is one person that the buck is ultimately passed to. And so they want to feel in control. They want to be able to be the master of their own fate. They're used to making all the decisions. And so giving them, empowering them to be able to learn on their own while still supporting them and being available when they need extra help was kind of a little bit of a tightrope walk. Like you can't go too far one way or the other because you don't want to take away their autonomy or make them feel like their autonomy is being taken away, but you want to guide them and you need to present yourself as the expert. So that's been a fun little, fence to walk.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right there. Through my experiences, at least, with my clients and my businesses and with the people we've interviewed on the show, it really much is those that we're seeing who are getting the best results for themselves and their clients are really those who are coming in like this hybrid business consultant, hybrid business advisor, hybrid business partner that helps them grow their businesses rather than just be a service or a product peddler. They're not just providing something, they're actually being there and saying, hey, if you do this, this, and this, this could help you move to this and helping them grow. And that's where we're building trust. Now, you also said something really earlier that along the lines of trust, you said, this is how we stand out. The SaaS industry is absolutely flooded. Every single day, more and more SaaS comes on. And you mentioned it earlier on that these clients are getting overwhelmed, that they've got 15, 20, 25 pieces of SaaS which they're trying to put together, don't speak to each other, and you come in and you help them do that. But that being said, in this noisy marketplace, the clients are just going to hear the same thing. They're going to hear the Charlie Brown Christmas, rah, 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 rah. It's another SaaS, rah, rah, rah. Even though yours says, hey, you've got 15 here, R1 helps you put it all together, it's still a rah, 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 rah across that. How are you making yourself stand out so you are actually being heard, giving yourselves a chance to be heard so people can go, interesting, never thought of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting situation because there really aren't any other solutions. There are lots of other solutions like us in the market. We are unique in the fact that we're bootstrapped. We don't have outside funding, so we don't overhire. We're 15 people. So we run very lean for running the size of organization that we do. People don't realize it at all because of the way that we communicate. We do, as far as like standing out, we do focus on education. So we have been almost a purely inbound sales machine for the last 7 years. It's presenting great content that is important to people without trying to sell to them. They trust us because we're focused on education first and then on selling our software second. It's not the right fit for everyone. So we actually do turn a fair number of people away if they're not ready to implement something. And that's something that our competitors don't do as well. They will, and it's every company does competitive market analysis and secret shops their competition and everything else. And in the process of kind of secret shopping all of our competition, it was interesting to hear the way that they talk about other pieces of software and the negativity that they bring into their software sales process. We don't do that. There is a solution for everyone out there. There are also plenty of customers to go around. And because we've had that mentality, we've disrupted a market and several competitors with a lot more resources than us, a lot more developers, a lot more money, frankly, to do the things and do things fast. Despite all of that, our core value has always been actually listening to our users. So much of our development process, especially in the first 4 years that I was with the company, was based purely off of asking all of the questions. Someone would come in and they'd request a feature and it would be, hey, we need this one very specific thing. And instead of saying, okay, we'll build it for you, I'd say, okay, let me see what I can do. Tell me what you're trying to accomplish. And so it's a very parabolic kind of style of both leading the team, but also leading our customers, giving them space to tell us what they're trying to accomplish, not to try and fit them into a workaround, but truly to understand, is this a need? And then going out and asking more questions. So we create the curve on which they can operate, but then we ask all of the questions and, we stay curious. And whereas we see other competitors that can do big things and they can do them quickly, they miss the mark more often because they're not taking the time to listen and ask questions and to really understand what people need.
Just Really good point there, Jess. What you're talking about is it's when clients come in, and we hear this all the time, especially within tech, you know, although that we all say and we all know that we shouldn't keep bowing down to the client's need for their little, I want a little bit here and I want a little bit there. And all of a sudden you're trying to design and create so many different things, and we need to take control of that. But common sense isn't always common practice, as we always know. But what I do like what you just said, though, is that, well, hold on a second. Tell me a little bit why do you actually need it. It goes back to a degree of what you were saying there, that so many clients out there aren't utilizing what they've got because they don't know the full power of what it can actually do. And that comes back down to the education that you said. So I want to delve a little bit more into this education because, there are going to be people listening here, listening on this show going, but we do educate. We do. We do teach them what to do, you know. And whereas I don't think that's wrong, I just think sometimes we can look at it from a different angle. Look at it. It's the same film, same movie, just a different camera angle. Tell us a little bit about your where you come from when it comes to education. You know, you said we're standing out by education. What exactly do you mean? Where does it start? And when does it finish?
Yeah. So, you know, my background really was in kind of corporate education, specifically around software. I worked for the local multiple listing service for the real estate industry before I came to Planning Pod. And my job as a training specialist, I actually developed courses for real estate agents to learn how to use technology in their business. And so not the same, but kind of a similar thing where you're working with solopreneurs and, you know, people who, you know, they count on themselves for everything. So they'll cobble solutions together as opposed to looking for something that is, you know, bigger. So one of the things that our marketing team has been doing is they have regular public, just free webinars with industry experts, but it's not specifically, you know, I've spoken on a couple of them, but not about our product at all. And we don't focus on that. So, I mean, this is like at the very beginning of our sales cycle, this is kind of prospecting for, you know, what we would consider marketing qualified leads at the beginning of our process. And we talk about things like business liability. We talk about things like building a sales funnel that works for the events industry, like proven information, but we're pulling in, you know, we talk about client experience and what that looks like for a venue versus a planner. Our director of marketing, Hannah, she's got experience in the events industry, but she also has experience in tech and marketing, obviously. But she is incredible at finding guests that will come on and they will fully like delve into their topic, be the expert, answer all the questions live, and really create value from that. And what happens is as soon as they attend the first one, they're going to attend them. They're going to continue to attend those. So, you know, we take that. If they never become a customer, that's fine. We're educating an industry. And that's something that I've always been passionate about. And having her execute on that has been just incredible. We also learn a lot from those. So it's, you know, it's self-serving a little because they will tell us what they're missing. And they help us drive the content that our customers need and that our community needs. There are very few educational providers specifically in the events industry because it's so broad. It's sometimes hard for people to narrow down on what someone needs. So they'll only talk to a caterer or they'll only talk to a wedding planner. And so those niches are good. But ultimately, the one thing that across the board is usually a gap in knowledge or there are holes in process is going to be the actual management of the business. It always tends to be the thing that falls to the wayside. And it's the most critical part, but it's the least sexy part, right? It's not that fun for people who don't love managing a business. They want to go work with their clients and provide these great client experiences. So that's really where our education comes to on the actual customer side of things, is really learning what their processes are and then making sure that they can still deliver the experience that they want to while using Planning Pod to, you know, balance the digital touch versus the actual physical, like picking up the phone or meeting with them in person. So maintaining the experience that they want to give their customers without losing money, missing out on leads, you know, the business stuff, the stuff that drives me, but our customers are like, I don't want to do that. That's not fun. It's a commodity.
We need various partners, isn't it, Jess? We need various partners who have different passions and different expertise and different insights into different things. So the things we like doing the best, we can just get on and do with them, right? Because we can't be a jack of all. And I think when we start, depending on where we're at within the business sector or within the business journey, you know, sometimes you do have to wear multiple hats, but the whole point of having multiple hats is that you get know a little bit about everything, and then you can start and grow enough to start getting other people in, whether it be internally or externally. Love that. So let's talk about business growth. Obviously, before business growth can occur, we need to have business. We need to have business. Yes. We need to have sales. And before that happens, we have to have leads. We have to have people sticking their hand up. You've already said that, you know, over the last few years, you've had a lot of inbound. What has been most effective for you recently in generating leads and having this inbound flux of people going, yeah, I want to talk to you?
Yeah. You know, in the early days of Planning Pod, so our founders came from traditional ad sales. Or not ad sales, traditional like advertising agency. That was their company before they started Planning Pod. And they kind of, it's another kind of accidental sort of thing where Steve Feingertz, who is our CEO, he and his then fiance were planning a destination wedding. And she couldn't find a good tool to plan it. And so he said, hey, I could probably figure this out. And he went and learned how to code and built her the first iteration of Planning Pod to plan their wedding at a destination. And then from there, they realized, wow, they actually built something, kind of started Planning Pod up as a business. And it was under a different name then. It was My Wedding Workbook, and rebranded in 2014, launched Planning Pod, the current, well, the 1.0 version, not our current version. And it kind of took off from there. So early on, because of their experience with SEO and advertising and everything else, they really built an inbound funnel based on SEO and paid advertising that has fueled our sales for years at this point. We've done some local outbound sales. Last summer, we launched that. And then we actually just brought on our first full-time outbound sales rep. And so it has been the inbound stuff. We get a fair amount of organic traffic from, you know, the length of time in the market and those kinds of things. One of the things that's been really unique, and I think I mentioned this when we chatted a couple of weeks ago, is our operations team actually closes almost dollar for dollar as much as our sales team does. The relationships that they build, the education that they provide, the onboarding, the loyalty, the trust, that is our superpower. We, you know, across the board, we have people who leave competitors who have almost the exact same or very similar tool set to us and in the same price range. And they'll come to us because that experience is so important to them. And they become raving fans. And we ask for referrals. We ask for reviews. And it's become kind of this fun little competition with my entire operations team, onboarding, customer success, data migration, even. They're currently in a competition to close as much as they possibly can. We really get the team involved in our goals. And that again has been, it comes back to, and I know I mentioned it before, kind of my style of leadership is really based on asking lots of questions and saying, okay, what's next? What do you want to do? What gets you excited? And then they go out and they are absolute mouthpieces for the company. They generate so much excitement from the people they work with because they love their jobs, and that translates. So it's all rather aspirational, I realize, but it's wild to me. I run payroll. We're a small company. So as the COO, I run payroll. And so I'm the one who's, you know, writing those commission checks. And it's really, really fun when you see an operations team that their job is not to sell, but they're getting wild bonuses because they are working their asses off and they're making big money for the company, and they get big rewards just like our sales team.
No, I love that. I'll tell you what, it's refreshing to hear that the operational side, because everyone, a traditional operational side is just getting stuff done. Traditionally, that's what it is. You know, it's come in, it's been sold, it comes down the pike, it's now with the operations, and then they get it. So your company turn around and say, hey, we're out selling the guys, you know, or at least, you know, pound for pound, dollar for dollar, we're there. That's a fantastic accolade to have. It really is. Again, this is why I love these conversations, because you mention something and it sticks in my brain and my eyes go around the world.
Yes.
Practically every great company works on referrals. But what I'm seeing time and time again is that even though one says we grow through referrals, very few of them have a referral system. You know, it's not systemized. It's just, we'll ask. Tell us a little bit about your refer. So you seem very passionate and said, yeah, this is what we do. This is the thing. Tell us, what is your system? How is your system? And how important is it having a system?
You're going to laugh at me because we don't really have an official system. This is actually something that's on our docket. This, the nature of, you know, being a bootstrapped company, being a small company and wearing all the hats is that we kind of have to prioritize things. And so while there was actually a period of time, and, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, again, we focus on being able to fail forward. So we've tried things and we went, whoop, that didn't work in the past. And one of those things was, it was probably 5 years ago now, we built a referral system and all the infrastructure to do it, like setting everything up, getting all the paperwork done. And then it kind of fell flat. No one really championed it. It was one of those things that was built and then it wasn't launched properly, frankly. And I think, you know, I say this very frankly because I recognize that this is a normal thing that small businesses and big businesses go through. It's a great idea, but maybe it goes through too many iterations of back and forth, too much feedback. And then suddenly it's so complicated that people go, huh? And that's kind of what happened in that situation. Like if a good referral system needs to be simple, it needs to be, you do this, we do that, cut and dry. So we actually, this was less of a referral system, but you know, there was constant talk about how are we going to get more Google reviews? How are we going to improve our rating on Google? And if you actually go back and look at our reviews and when they all came in, it was about 10 months ago, one of our CSMs, Britt, who is fantastic, does a great job. Britt was like, I want to take control of this. And just like in the very beginning, when I said, hey, I want to train our users and our CEO said, yes, I said, okay, do it. She's like, well, what can I give people? And I was like, you tell me what's going to make it work and I'll approve it. Or if it's something I can't approve, like we'll talk about it. She came up with a plan and she took us from 4 reviews and everyone lamenting it and talking about it all the time to, I think we have 29 reviews and we went from 2.3 stars to 4.8. And it took her about 3 months just because she was motivated. She just wanted to see something improve, came up with a plan and we said yes. And so, I mean, that is, I think it's a blessing and a curse. Like we did from there, we got a better process for how we were going to, you know, say thank you to people who gave us reviews and, you know, it went into a form in Slack and then my assistant helped. So it's like, we built some processes around it, but ultimately it's, and I always go back and I'm going to misquote this, but it's a Walt Disney quote that it's the, you know, the fastest way to get something done is to stop talking about it and start doing it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's probably where a lot of companies land in these referral programs. Like we do, we're actively working on building something that is going to be simpler for our users. And potentially even an authorized reseller program is something we're considering doing. But those things, it does take a little bit longer to stand them up. We'll run a promotion occasionally where we'll reach out to our best customers and say, hey, do you have anyone you can introduce us to? And then we reward them for that. So we are that company that doesn't have an official process.
Well, again, you know, sometimes it's not about hitting it head on. Yeah. And this is the key when it comes to growth. And you're absolutely right. When it comes to referral system, it should be very, very simple. People overthink it. It gets much too complicated and it doesn't get done. And then all of a sudden, you're not asking referrals at all. What's interesting is that you don't necessarily have to come at it from a straightforward, hey, let's do a referral. Like you said, if you're asking people just to give what the star service is or, you know, give us a trust rating, that in turn reignites that brain and that in turn reignites the passion of working with you. And, you know, you've almost got like a reignited the fire and then they go and refer from there on in. So you don't necessarily have to do it. As long as you're doing one thing religiously, you don't actually have to do the other thing. So it's an absolute great point on there. So listen, just again, time just goes away from us sometimes when we're just having such a great time. For other leaders who are listening here and they're growing niche SaaS products, and I've got to call it a niche because, as I said, even though everyone is working within a niche, SaaS is SaaS. What is one piece of advice you'd give around standing out and scaling smart today?
One piece of advice. Don't be afraid to get in the trenches and talk to your users. And talk. You can talk all day, but if you're not listening and asking questions and staying curious, then you're going to end up building a camel, right? So, I mean, you know, what they say, you know, a horse is a horse, a camel is a horse built by a committee. You don't want to become, you don't need to be everything to everyone, but you do need to be curious for the people you're serving. And one of the things that we've always, it seems negative to focus on the problems, but if you don't know the problems, you can't provide a solution. And so really, truly understanding your user base, your customer, what they need, that is, it's so incredibly critical. And then I'm going to cheat and give you one more piece of advice to share. I think, especially in a very niche industry, make sure you have multiple revenue streams that are going to support you through seasonality, that are going to support you through, you know, crisis, international crises, like, you know, I was there for COVID. Our industry was decimated, and the things that kept us afloat were our relationships and our partnerships with other revenue streams. So, you know, integrated payment processing, other sources of revenue. So diversify where you can while still serving your niche market, but, you know, it's hope for the best and prepare for the worst. And then just be curious, ask all the questions. You don't know what you don't know, and that's okay.
Yeah. Curiosity. I love that. Curiosity, you know, as a find out, always be quite, isn't it more fun when you're curious as well?
Oh, yeah.
Rather than carrying a bag around of all the answers all the time, just be curious and just listen to what other people are saying, you know, and sometimes you'll spot a problem which you never thought was there. And then maybe that becomes your biggest revenue stream.
Yep.
Because you just had the curiosity to listen. Love it. Absolutely listen. So, Jess, if people want to get in touch with you, potentially work with you, what's the best way of doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website's very hard to find. It's not. It's planningpod.com. We're active on all of our social platforms. So Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn is another good one. I'm like, what's the other one that we always do? In general, we're pretty easy to find. We're a small company. If anyone's in Northern Colorado, we're right in downtown Loveland, Colorado. Come on up and visit us. We have a cute office dog. So
I'll make sure some of those links are in the show notes just so that they can just do a one click and get straight to you. Perfect. So, but thank you very much for your time today and your
really
insights.
Fun.
It's been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for another episode of the Growth Focus Podcast. And as usual, if you've picked up something that Jessica said, please make sure you like and comment the below so that other people can see what you picked up and what was important that Jess mentioned. But more importantly, please share. This is about all of us growing together. That's why we listen. That's why we attend. That's why we watch. And that's why I have some great guests on this show to help us all grow. So more importantly, share this with other people who want to grow their businesses, especially within tech as well. So until next time, thank you very much for joining us, and we shall see you on the next episode. Bye-bye.